of church and different methods and mindsets and, you know, so much input and influence, and, you know, everybody's got an identity or something that they're going for. But something I was talking to Pastor about, I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with having fancy things or nice stuff or whatever. But I told him, I said, you know, I really feel like what Christ wanted the church to be, and when you look at what the full gospel says, the three things, the three pillars, and what I've been able to take from hearing ministries and different ministers and being in this church, being a part of this church, is these three pillars that I feel like as long as you have these, you're headed in the right direction. Now, obviously, there's programs and other things you can do. But number one, an opportunity to receive Jesus. Because if you don't have an opportunity to receive Jesus, you know, me or someone else could tickle your ears with the greatest teaching that you've ever heard, but you'd leave the exact same. You know, so there's no difference there if we don't have a chance to receive Jesus. Number two, a chance to give and understand why you're giving. There's a lot of people that just plump it in the bucket because that's what we do. Man, it's important to understand the promises that are behind that and understand why we give and even how we should go about giving. You know, that God loves a cheerful giver. Talks about no one should give because they're pressured. It should be what they feel like they're doing in their own heart. Like Dan talked about, where your treasure is, you know, what's important to you. So a chance to receive Jesus, a chance to give and know why you're giving. And third and most important, allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way. He is in charge. Now, that doesn't mean that every service is everybody come up here and find a piece of carpet and we're going to roll around. You know, God can change hearts through one word, through one scripture, just the same as he can if you came up here, got hit by the power of God and just were shaken. God can move in whatever way he sees fit, but it's about trying to put God into a box. You know, we're going to honor and love God as long as it's no longer than this, and it looks like this, and it sounds like this, and, you know, I just don't see that in Scripture. You know, decent in order, absolutely, but I don't think that the upper room was real orderly. I would assume that was a pretty interesting event. So there's a time and place for everything, but those three things, and I said that to say, look what's happened tonight already. You were in a good place. You were in a safe place. You were in a house of God where people get saved. You can give and understand why you're giving, and you can see the fruit of what you're giving to. And third, the Holy Spirit has his way. If at any point the Holy Spirit tells me, I will close this book and I'll do whatever he wants. Because let's be serious, guys. There's, you know, what I have, I believe that God's put on my heart. But there's nothing that Robbie can do for you. Robbie's not going to change anyone tonight. The Holy Spirit is going to. I couldn't change myself, you know. How am I going to change you if I couldn't change myself? Anyways, well, I am extremely excited that there are lots of people here tonight. I'm going to give a few shout-outs, which will get me in trouble, and then I'm going to get into the message. I am so thankful that my parents, who just got back from a very stressful week down in the Caribbean. For those of you who know, they love to cruise. But, and the Gaffeys as well, they landed back this morning and drove all the way, all day long. It would be easy to say, hey, we just got through doing all this and we just drove hours. It'd be easy to go home. But I want to say I'm really excited that my parents are here and the Gaffeys, more so Christy than Mike, but, you know, it's all right. No, I love Mike. He's a blessing. I'm really excited, as Dan already pointed out, that my sister is here from just outside of Seattle. And man, I believe God's using her in a big way. I know she went up there to nanny, but I believe God's doing something in her. And if you didn't sense the anointing during that, we need to check for a pulse or something. I don't know. And second to last, some of my youth folks here. that made a special trip in your busy, busy schedules to come out and support us. Go ahead and stand up, One Way Youth folks, if you don't mind, real quick. Go ahead. Come on. I won't embarrass you anymore. So thankful to have this group. You know, you guys can be seated. We run about 60 to 65, depending on the night. And man, it is awesome what God is doing. They are hungry for a touch from God. We've got, get this, guys. We've got young people getting together on a Friday night to spend time in the presence of God. Did you hear what I said? Okay. And then they're here again on Sunday night. Okay. This too is revival, right, Pastor? This too is revival. And lastly, but certainly not least, my beautiful wife and our new beautiful baby girl. This is Lauren's first time since the baby and our baby's first time to be here. Would you stand real quick, Lauren? I know you're going to get real mad at me later, but I mean, seriously, guys, right? Yeah. So thankful they are there and thankful that Pastor was able to make it back out as well. So tonight, man, I've got a bunch of notes and I'm going to try to squeeze it in. It's just one of those things God just kept talking and talking. And that's the thing about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It'll stay up with you as late as you want. You know what I'm saying? It's not, God has no off hours. He's not like, all right, Robbie, I appreciate your interest, but I've got to get, no, man, he'll stay up all night. He'll speak to you here, encourage you. He'll give you words that are, life-changing. And so I believe I have a word tonight. And that song that we sang about being open, I just want to encourage you, open yourself up right now and just expect. You guys hear me? Expect a touch from God. Expect a word from God. Expect to hear something. You know, there are people, I may be teaching on something that you've heard before, but you know what? The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is living and breathing. So if you've heard a message based on this 10 times, there's still life in it. Right? So if you, I'm telling you, it's like the song said, like we're open to let Him do His thing. And I'm telling you, if you will stay open, God will speak to you and give you something, I think, that will change your life, the point of view that you might have on something. God has something for you tonight. So the name of the message tonight is Ready for Takeoff. Ready for Takeoff. And we're going to delve into a few things. We're going to use some terminology and some things used with aircraft to kind of point our direction here tonight. So first of all, this is something I need to hit on. So I know that we have youth here tonight, right? But I want you to know this word is not just for them. You know, I remember before I was going to speak one time, I had somebody come up and say, now remember, we're not youth. And I was like, well, thanks for the, like, what does that mean? I don't really know how to interpret that. But the point is, regardless, if it's from the Word of God, it's for you. You hear me? Whether you are 10 years old or 80 years old or 50, it does not matter. The Word of God transcends age. It transcends time. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the word I'm going to share tonight, don't think, oh, well, Robbie's just speaking to the youth. No, I am not. I am speaking to you right where you're at. So ready for takeoff. 1 Timothy 4:12. So this is what I'm going to hit on. A lot of people know this verse. It says, let no one despise you because of your age. And well, the way it says it there is, let no one despise you because of your youth. Now, the reason I believe that it says that is because in that given culture, elders were just respected. It was just a given that you respected your elders. That was the culture. And so to be young was kind of seen as like, you're not really that big of a deal. Well, in today's culture, I feel like we almost have it flip-flopped, where it's like, you're old, so you're no longer relevant, or you had your time in the sun, or your ship has sailed, or whatever it may be. And so tonight I want to say, let no one discriminate you. Let no one look down on you because of your age, regardless of what that age is, because God is not done with you. God has more for you. I want to encourage you in that tonight. Don't buy into that. You know, the whole, I don't know all the, you know, the 40s, the new 20, what, you know what? You are whatever God says you are. Okay? And we'll worry about age later. Doesn't matter. Old or young. So this is what I want you to do, guys. First, before we get into this, I need you to make up your mind that you are not going to disqualify yourself. You are not too young. You are not too old. You are not too anything. So I want to give you a list of excuses. I saw this the other day of people that disqualified themselves because we all have a reason on why we can't do something. You notice that? You walk up to a kid, what happened? Well, what happened was, well, I was going to, but, you know, whatever it was. But, you know, we see the Bible is full of people. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair and had that woman's husband killed. Noah was a drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm here to tell you tonight that he has a call for you. Did you hear me? God has a call for you. Well, I'm too, nope, you're not too anything. The only, you know, the only person that can disqualify you is you. The only person that can disqualify you from being used from God is you. Because he has already qualified you. God has a call and a purpose for your life. And it's more, everybody listen, it's more than just walking down this aisle. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing more moving and amazing and awesome than seeing what we saw tonight. You guys hear me? To see someone not just come, but come broken. God's not looking for people who have it all together. He's looking for people that are broken. That are just broken as something that I've heard pastors say, a minister's not worth the salt until he's been broken into a million pieces. And sometimes if we'll allow ourselves to be broken in his presence, he can take those pieces and put you back together in something, into something that can be used in a mighty way, in a way that you could never accomplish on your own. I know that's the truth for me. I know where I was and I know the things I was doing, and there's no way in the world that I could have put myself back together and would have told you. If you'd asked me in 2006 and in 2007, Robbie, are you going to be standing behind a pulpit ministering? Not a chance. But God. But God. So we're not just here to walk down the aisle. That's a start. But I'm here to talk to you about what God's looking for. So this is a checklist so that we can be ready for takeoff. Number one. Are you available? Are you available? This is a simple question. I tell you what, I don't know why, but people are just busier than they've ever been. Oh, you know, I'd love to, but I'm part of this club. I'm part of that club. I've got this commitment. I've got that commitment. Trust me, I understand what it means to be busy. I have two children under the age of 16 months. I work at the school. I work at the church, and I coach. Okay, I understand what it means to be busy, all right? But something that God, started on me big time. You know, I did my best to get in the presence of God and spend time in the Word. But that's one of those things I've started every morning. The very first thing I do is get the Word of God out and I read. That is the very, very, very first thing I do. Something that Pastor talks about before your mind gets busy and gets all the stuff. But here's the deal, guys. I didn't find time. I made time, right? I had to make myself available. It's not my great ability. It's just a decision. And I have this stupid game on my phone that I like to play. And I realized that the first thing I would do when I would wake up was go and, you know, open these little bonus things or whatever, because it like starts over on a timer. So I'd wake up and be like, oh, yeah, but. And I thought to myself, if I can wake up and do that, it's incredible the things. I talked to Dan about the youth coming. We were talking about this. I said, please try and come. And I said, and don't do like, hey, Mom, do you care if I go? Do it as if it was the thing you wanted to go to more than anything in the world. Mom, please, 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 please. My parents can attest to you, okay? I talked about my two woes. My parents didn't let me go to this skating park day that I like begged the youth to do, but I got in trouble. My dad said, nope, you're not going. I begged. I don't know how it ended. He might just choke me out eventually because I just wouldn't stop talking. Please let me go. Please let me go. You know, like it was so important to me. Like something so Small and insignificant, but it was so important to me. So what did I do? I talked about it all the time. Please, 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 please. I made myself as available as possible to be able to go on this trip. That one I forgave him for. The other one was a little bit harder. It was the day that Emmett Smith broke the all-time rushing record. My friend had a ticket for me on the 50-yard line, and I was supposed to go, but I'm sure I did something stupid or disrespectful or whatever, but he was like, yeah, you're not going. I was like, it's history. He's like, you're history if you don't shape up. So, and you know what? I turned out all right. So we'll call it even, Dad. We'll call it even. Anyways, so are you available? Because this is a big, big deal. I feel like a lot of people are thinking that God's looking for ability. Now, God's given you ability, but God is not looking. I mean, look at that list. God wanted somebody to go stand before Pharaoh and speak publicly, so he went and grabbed a guy that stuttered. Think about that. God is not looking for your ability. He is looking for your availability. Do you hear me? I'm not talented enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. You know, you look at Dan. Dan is an incredibly talented person, right? Plays instruments, sings and all this different stuff. And he'll give all glory to God. And I believe that's part of the reason God has given him a lot of talents. But Dan, you can go and ask him. He may not want to bring it up, but he talked to me about whenever he got put up to do the drums when he was young. And he said it was so bad that his dad in the middle of the service walked over and was like, mm-mm. Go. Like, can you imagine how degrading that was? And Dan could have been like, never playing music again. Right? But God, it wasn't about his ability, it's about his availability. And it's so awesome, the people that God finds and is able to use, you know, dress thyself and show up. If you've been around this house, you've heard that. There's something to just being there, just being faithful. You have to show up. So Isaiah 6:8, God's saying, who shall I send? Who will go for me? What did he say? Here I am. Send me. I'm available. I can do that. Bill Knott does a message on that from Australia. I can do that. Are you available? Because I'm telling you right now, if you do that, if you're not available, you just disqualified yourself. I'm just too busy to be used by God. Now, I believe that God, like I said, has a call and has placed vision and dreams and goals and things that you're believing God for. Does anybody in here have something? Nobody. Okay, there we go. Some hands. I'm about to say, what are you doing if you have, what are you living for, right? I've got things I'm believing God for. I've got healings that I'm believing God for. I've got vision I'm believing God for. I've got a call that I believe God's placed on my life, and I'm believing for him to get me there, right? I'm believing that God's going to get me ready for takeoff, but first I've got to be available. Number two, are you preparing yourself? What are you doing to get ready for whatever it is that you're believing God for? There's a minister named Keith Johnson. I was able to go out and get some coffee with him a few years ago. And he asked me, he said, you know, what's in your heart? What do you want to do? And I shared that with him. And so he asked me, he said, well, what are you doing about it? And he had told me, he said he had a staff member come up to him and they were talking. He said, what's in your heart? And he said, man, to do this. And he looked at him and he said, well, it's not. He's like, what do you mean it's not? He goes, if it was in your heart to do it, you would be finding a way to do it, to be part of it. That doesn't mean you've arrived and everything's in place. But it's like, if you have a minister, if you have a desire to be an evangelist, but you don't go out soul winning, I question, do you really want to be an evangelist, right? I want to be a missionary to Mexico. All right, cool. Here is a thing where you can start learning Spanish. That's a lot of work. What? What are you doing to prepare for the call or the vision or the thing that you're aspiring to step into? What are you doing? This is a church that wants to see souls won, right? What if we didn't send anybody out on the street? What if we didn't do any altar calls? You know what I would say? No, you don't. You don't want to see people saved. It's not complicated. I know I'm going real deep, guys, right? You guys try to track with me. But are you preparing yourself? You know, when you look at, like I said, we're going back to the airport deal. We're talking about being available. Are you going to show up to the airport, right? You're not going to be able to get on a plane and go anywhere if you don't show up. dress thyself and show up. I don't think they'd let you get on a plane if you don't dress yourself. So we got to dress ourselves and show up. And then what are you doing to prepare for that? There's packing. There's a passport. There's research. So Laura and I, we went on a honeymoon. Beautiful, beautiful honeymoon to Canada. Oh, my Lord, it's Charlie and Lori have been real close to where we went. They stayed in the hotel right off of Lake Louise. I'm telling you, man, the water, it looks like that blue Gatorade, kind of like that real light blue. It is, I mean, it looks fake. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen pictures of it. I always thought, that's got to be a filter. No, it is insanely beautiful because you've got this crazy blue water and you've got beautiful mountains and you've got greenery everywhere. And then it's 70 degrees, but there's still snow at the top. It's just like, how can all this be together? But before we went, we did research. We looked, what is there to do? What, like, when my parents go on cruise stuff, they'll look at excursions and things that they can go do. I'm telling you, you're going to be in a big rush, in a hurry, whatever, if you're not preparing for where you're going. Can you imagine, Dr. Vaughn, on your missions trips, can you imagine if you did nothing to prepare, just like, just showing up? Well, what church are you connected with? None. I'm just going to show up. Just believe in God, right? Well, there's a certain point that, yeah, we have to believe in God. We trust in God. But there comes a certain point of laziness, too. What are you doing to prepare? I'm called to ministry. What are you doing to prepare? I want to start a business. What are you doing to prepare? Because I really believe that God has set things in your lives. But what are you doing to prepare? Are you looking ahead? Are you finding out? Can you imagine if you're like, my goal is to climb Mount Everest. Well, what have you done? I bought a jacket. That's a big step, guys. I bought a jacket. And it's a real good jacket. You can have the best jacket in the world, but guess what? If you show up and try to climb that with no preparation, you're going to die. Right? Something to think about. You got to prepare. You know, you got to prepare. What do you want to do? You know, we look at David. This is a really cool example. I did a little series on David as he's coming up in the ranks and everything, and you look at how much his life changed drastically. You know, he was watching sheep. Has anybody ever watched sheep before? I mean, let's think about this, because we count sheep to go to sleep. How boring is that, right? Sitting there like, man, this is another bad day, right? Right, that was for Dan. Dan loves my corny jokes, and I love his. So, I could just imagine being so bored, just sitting in a field, nothing's going on. His brothers are, you know, at the battlefront. He's just chilling. But here's the deal, man. Every single day, he showed up, okay? And he was faithful to be there. He worshiped God with the time that he had. There's a big message in there. There's a little, tell you, these are things you need to write down and think about in your waiting time. What are you doing? Are you showing up every day? Are you still praising and worshiping God for the situation that you're in? Are you thanking God for your field? But imagine if he didn't show up on the day that the lion showed up. What if he didn't show up the day that the bear showed up? One day. What if he'd have missed one day and it was that day? What if the one day you didn't show up to work? What if the one day you didn't do it, God had just this big open door and was like, here you go. What if the one day he came back and he was like, what happened to all these sheep? Right? Things are boring until they're not. You know what I'm saying? But you look at what that did. That prepared him for what? For Goliath. It prepared him. His daily boring showing up, doing what he's supposed to do, little excitement. Hey, that was cool. Awesome. Hey, I had a little breakthrough. I fought a lion. That was cool. Hey, I fought a bear. That was cool. You know, I love the fact that he was called to be king before Goliath. I think that's really cool. It wasn't like, wow, everyone. It was about what he did when no one was looking. It was about his faithfulness when no one was looking. He was preparing. It wasn't, hey, everyone, I'm preparing myself. It's like the guys that are working out. Now, I'm trying to get in better shape myself right now. But the people that, there's that whole theory that if you don't post that you went to the gym, it didn't happen. Have you guys heard that? Right? Like, well, I got to get a good mirror shot here. Like, oh, you know, if I don't post this, it's like the whole workout didn't count. Some of us can get caught up in that and like, look, look, look. But man, what are you doing when nobody else is around? When God saw Saul and disapproved, he told him, he said, you're not about this. You don't trust me. You're off on your own. He said, I found a man after my own heart. The man that was after his own heart hadn't done anything in front of anyone. Are you guys hearing me? He hadn't done anything impressive for anyone. He was so unimpressive that his dad thought, I'll leave that guy. Look at all the rest of my strapping boys, you know. He left him in the back. Take care of those sheep, you know. So are you preparing, especially when no one else is around? Number three. So number one, are you available? Number two, are you preparing yourself? Number three, do you have your ID? Do you know who you are in Christ? This is one of the biggest revelations that if you don't have, being a Christian is going to be real tough. Because this is something you need to understand. First of all, the world is having an identity crisis. People don't know what restroom to use. People don't know what gender they... I'm serious. Like, I was trying to describe something to someone, and I was like, you know, LGBT, QRS, TUV, WXY. I don't even know. It's literally... It's such an insane deal. And, you know, Pastor even hit a little bit on that about just the perversion and things that are going on. There was a man that tweeted that that pedophilia was a sexual orientation. That is the day that we live in. That is scary. It's demonic, and it doesn't need any more glorification. But my point is, what I'm talking about is, do you know who you are? Because the world is trying to tell you who you are. And it's telling you you're not pretty enough, not skinny enough, not this enough, not rich enough. Look at this. Look at that. You know, social media, where we fall into this trap. I'm not doing anything with my life. I didn't just go on a vacation. I didn't get a new car. I didn't just have a baby. Yeah, well, you know what? That person had a car, got a car. That person had a baby, and that person went on vacation. Like, at some point in your life, you'll probably do one of those things, but we have this mentality like, oh, I've got to be this. I've got to be that. And it's this trap that we fall into. And it's one of those things with our identity. The reason that we're losing this is because the devil is not ever going to stop lying to you. Whether you are 10 years old or whatever, pick a number. The devil is never going to stop lying to you. He's never going to stop trying to remind you of your past. He's never going to stop trying to pull you down. Look at this. This is why you can't. But the good news is that Jesus will never stop loving you. He will never stop pursuing you. He will never stop viewing you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Never. Do you know who you are? 2 Corinthians 5:21. So I'm going to give you a bunch of references here. It'd be good to write these down. You can go back and look at them later. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm complete. These are things that you are. So if you're going to write this stuff down, you are righteous, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are complete, Colossians 2:10. You are free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. You have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Philippians 2:5. Your needs are met, Philippians 4:19. You are able, Philippians 4:13. You are born again, 1 Peter 1:23. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a joint heir with Christ, Romans 8:17. You are a conqueror, Romans 8:37. You are healed and whole, Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. And you are on his mind more than the sands of the sea, Psalms 139. I'm telling you guys, the devil is doing his best to just make you feel small and make you feel inadequate and make you feel like you've forgotten, that you've missed your opportunity, that you're not good enough. But the Word of God says different. Let every man be a liar. And let what God's Word says be true. This is so important, guys. The identity of our country is in our hands. As the church goes, so will go our nation. The more that we become laxed, the more that we just fall into, you know, that's just how things are now. If we fall into that trap, God help us. Nobody wants to step on toes. Nobody wants to be offensive. Well, you know what? Jesus was offensive. Jesus was offensive. We have ministers with very large platforms making statements like, well, the word of God is evolving. You know, what used to be not okay is now, it's different. Says who? The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What? At what point does this become any less valid? At what point? Well, it's whenever we're worried we're going to hurt someone's feelings. We're worried that we're, you know, do you really love someone? If you really love someone, you'll tell them the truth. My wife and I can be honest with each other. Hey, does this look okay? You know? But if you went to someone else, you'd be like, does this look okay? I'd be like, yeah, you look great. Oh my God. Get a picture of that, you know? Kelly was the queen of that. Creeping, right? But you know, we see people saying that the word is evolving and changing and absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not complicated, guys. There are things that are pleasing to God and things that are displeasing to God. And it doesn't change regardless of how many people say it, how loud they cheer and chant, how justified people are. Let the word of God be true and let every man be a liar. Number four. What do you need to let go of? So, to get on a plane, how many of you guys know that before you get on, there's some things that you can't take with you, right? Now, I saw this commercial, and now, don't get me wrong, guys, I love Whataburger, okay? I love Whataburger. Some of you guys have seen this commercial. This guy's like, well, I was eating my Whataburger, and they were like, everybody's got to get on the plane, and I was like, I really, really love these burgers. I'll just catch the next one, like, come on, dude. Like, no burger's worth like $250 or however much the flight was. Like, let's be serious. I love Whataburger. I had it this week. It was delicious. Okay? I'm not hating on Whataburger. But this mindset of like, you know, and it's so crazy. Now, that may seem weird, but it's crazy the things that we're unwilling to let go of so that we can move to the next stage that God has for us. There, it is crazy the things that we'll try to hold on to, that we'll try to hide. Nobody will know that's there. You know, I've got to keep it with me. But there are some things that I believe God has to strip away and take away and remove so that you can move into the next part of what he has for you to get you one step closer to being ready for takeoff. What do you need to let go of? Bottles of water, I guess. I don't know. It's dangerous. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's funny. It's the little things. You know, it's the little fox that spoils the vine, right? It's the little things that we're unwilling to let go of. The small habits. The small little things. You know, it says, give no place to the devil. There's a lot of people think like, hey, look, I have changed all of this, but I can't let go of just, it's just this little thing, right? And one tiny hole in a boat can sink the whole boat. It may take longer. And that's what's scary is you're just chugging along. You get so far out to sea and all of a sudden, oh, we've got a problem. Are you unwilling to let go? So we see Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Say everything. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. We have to be willing to drop some stuff. We have to be willing to maybe even break off some relationships. We have to be willing to change some habits. We have to be willing to give some things up. I'm just telling you, God can use you as far as he can correct you. I did a message on that a while back. God can only use you as far as he can correct you. So if you've got something, and this, I'm trying to remember who I heard this from. They were talking about you can have hardness in your heart that you don't know about, that you're holding on to, and God will say, hey, this is that thing you got to let go. Right? I think I talked about this last time about if you're ever going to the chiropractor or whatever to get adjusted. You know, if you have an area that's tender, you're tense, right? You don't want to let go of it, right? Like, ooh, you know, don't do that. Don't touch that. But at the very thing that we're clinging on to or whatever, if we would just let it go, God can make the adjustment that we need. If we'll stop clenching so tight. You know, I've heard about the analogy of the rope. God's trying to pull this rope, and if you'll just let go, it'll be over. But the harder you hang on to it, it'll give you these terrible rope burns like you get at Discovery Camp, right? He knows what I'm talking about. I don't do tug of war anymore. It's not about that. Got rope burn all over me. But there are some things that we have to be willing to let go of. What do you need to let go of? So we look back. Are you available? Are you going to show up? Are you preparing yourself? What are you doing when nobody else is around? Do you have your ID? Do you understand? Are you stepping and walking in who you are in Christ? Number four, what do you need to let go of? What changes do you need to make? And number five, can you handle delays and setbacks? Now, don't get me wrong. There's not much worse than sitting on a tarmac for hours. Anybody ever been there before? That is rough. Or a layover, right? I think when I was, I've traveled with a pastor a few times. And I remember once we were going to Australia, and when we got to our first connecting deal, they got us there later. There's nothing we could have done about it. We got there, we booked it, we shuffled over, we got there. They were like, yeah, that plane left 30 minutes ago. And we're like, okay. And things that were out of our control or whatever, circumstance, something happened. And then we had to wait, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours that added onto an already very, very long journey. Sometimes that can be tough. You know, when we went to Uganda a few years ago, on the way back, they had overbooked the flight. Right? And so we get to London, and they were like, who would be willing to stay behind in London? I was like, this guy. Here I am, Lord, send me, you know? And so I didn't know what that was going to be. I don't know if it was going to be a day or an hour or whatever, but I'm just thinking, like, I love being overseas and this and that. So I stayed. Now, it ended up being like a 6 or 8 hour delay, and we couldn't leave. We couldn't even leave the airport. I was like, oh, man. So I was super bummed, right? I saw setback, delays, I'm here for nothing. And then all of a sudden they were like, but here's our Admiral's Club. And I was like, ooh, right? Unexpected blessing, right? Something I wasn't expecting, but I was where I was supposed to be. I volunteered to do something, maybe a little inconvenient. And God said, here you go. And then, this was the sweetest part of all. I've done several international flights. I tell you what, on a normal seat, it is hard to sleep. It just is. Sometimes people are not real clean. Sometimes people are rude. I remember the guy next to Kelly. Oh, poor Kelly. She sat next to a guy. I don't know if he knew what a shower was. I mean, it was bad. It was real bad. And then John Manasco. I don't know if the Manasco's here tonight. So John Manasco, their son, he went on this trip. And he puts his seat back to go to sleep. And the same guy goes, no, no, no. And like smacked him on the head. And he turned around. And he was like, uh-uh. And it's like, what? And he like pushed his chair up, and then the guy pulled the tray down, and he laid down like this. I was like, man, that's messed up. So sometimes we can have some unexpected delays. But like I was saying, I got to go to the Admiral's Club, and then second, instead of being like a sardine, they bumped us up to business first class, where it was like those eggshell-looking things, and you can lay all the way down. I was like, yes, Lord. I felt like I'm serious, man. I was like, I'd be slain in the spirit for hours as we venture back across the Atlantic. That is the only time I've ever slept on a plane. Like, actually, I was out, man. I was counting sheep or doing whatever. But, man, an unexpected delay, right? We see that as that's negative. That's bad. Man, I have seen, I was with my buddy in a car, and we had a guy that didn't go when the red light changed. We missed an entire cycle, and when we would have gone, we saw a car whoosh, fly through. I was like, that would have been us. Because with the guy in front of us, we're like, bram, 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 go! Go, idiot! You know, like, come on, we're mad about, this is our time, this is my precious time, whatever. This is how long it's supposed to take. We have all these preconceived notions of how long it's supposed to be before God is supposed to use me. Today, you know, we try to put time restraints on God. Man, what a joke, right? I mean, he created time, and yet we're going to, come on, God, speed it along. You know, I can't imagine if I'd have done that with any of our babies, right? Laura and I, we tried for a year and a half and didn't get pregnant. And then all of a sudden, Abigail comes, and then we got another one. We're like, what's happening? But I can't imagine, like, as excited as we were for a baby, what if I was like, come on, God, I want it right now. 2 months, and I can't wait any longer. Well, it wouldn't be healthy. And even if it was, we wouldn't have been ready. But sometimes we can just, I want it so bad. God, make me patient now, right? Give me patience right now. But can you handle delays and setbacks? Can you handle discomfort? Galatians 6:9, Pastor references this morning. Be not weary in well-doing. There's something to be said for someone that's just faithful to just do the right thing, to just do what God told you to do last. Everybody wants this big spiritual breakthrough. Are you doing what God told you to do last? Are you faithful to the house of God? Are you faithful to spend time in the Word of God? Are you faithful to give him thanks in everything you do? Like, this is just small things. Are you doing that? Be not weary in well-doing. And this is something that we can have trouble with, right? It can be tough to learn how to deal with setbacks or with circumstance, right? So we look at Peter. Lots of people use Peter as an example, right? He's an easy target, right? I mean, he's just got a temper. He's got all this different stuff. He's got a lot of issues. But we see in Matthew 14, Peter walks on the water, right? Which is amazing. And I believe there's, maybe you've had something. You stepped out. You're like, yes, God, this is incredible. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Where did all the financing go for that? Wait a minute. Where did all the volunteers go for that? Wait a minute. And you begin to look at circumstance. And Peter, who had made a big step of faith, he steps out. And what did he do? He began to look at, man, that's a big wave. Man, that's a lot of wind. Man, this, I shouldn't be doing this. Have you ever done that? You ever stepped out? Yes, God, here I am. My bad. You know, back up, whatever. It's like the chess rule. You know, like, as long as you keep your finger on it, you can move it back. I heard a comedian, he said, can you imagine a guy runs into the bank, he's like, I want everybody's money. You know what? Never mind, I don't want to do this. You know, backs out of it, you know. Can you imagine? That's probably how Peter felt. He was like, yes, Jesus, I will walk with you, you know. And he went just, what am I doing, right? He was so shaken by circumstance. And then we see just a little bit longer, I mean, people have died. Things are going horribly. And in Acts 12, Peter isn't moved by his circumstance. Peter's chilling in jail. He's chained. I think James was just killed. Things are looking horrible. And he couldn't care less. He was just, hey, man, God's in control. Hey, if this is it, if this is how I go, this is how I go. He had moved from, what's happening to, I'm not moved. I will not be moved by what's going on. I know what God called me to do. I know the truth. I have the truth inside of me, the gospel. You look at what a changed man Peter was. So we can grow in that. And number 6, and this is what it boils down to, guys. This is what it boils down to for healing, for salvation, for everything else. Do you trust God? Philippians 1:6, he is faithful to complete that which he started. There comes a point where you can do everything you can. You've prepared, you've showed up, you've got rid of things you didn't need, you've examined yourself. You've let go of certain stuff. You've handled your delays. You've done everything. And then sometimes there comes a point where you just got to sit and trust God. There comes a point on that plane. Ding. They're up there doing all this. And you're putting your faith in some dude sitting up there in the front. At that point, you've done everything you can. You've packed and prepared. You've gone through all the, you got there early. You did your whole thing. And now you're sitting there on the plane. And you're sitting there in whatever it is that God's called you to do. And you've done everything you can. You've been as faithful and thorough as possible. And now you're sitting at a point where you're trusting God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that He is faithful to complete that which He started. He's faithful. And thank God there's grace for all of those things. Oh, Robbie, I haven't made myself available like I need to. Robbie, I haven't prepared like I need to. Robbie, I have been unwilling to let go of things like I need to. The list goes on and on. Tonight, I believe that God is going to break some things off of people. I believe that God is going to show you those things. Because that's the beauty of what the Holy Spirit can do. He can see your blind spot. He can see that thing that you can't see. It's like the guy walking around with the sunglasses on his head. I don't know where I put them. I just had them. But if he had a little bit different perspective, oh, there it is. There they are. And sometimes we can get so busy. We can just get so caught up in everything that's going on that we will just lose sight of small things. I was looking for my phone. It was on the counter, like this close to me. And I'm like, Lauren, where is it? Babies are crying. Things are going up. And I was so distracted by everything going on. I missed something that was just right in front of me. And sometimes we just need to just get quiet before God. Sometimes we just need to come up and say, God, show me. Because I truly believe that no one has reached their final destination. Everybody here, God has something else for you. There's one more flight He has for you to catch. There's one more place He needs you to go. There's one more person He needs you to minister to. There's one more person that needs encouragement. There's one more person that needs discipling. Let's have everybody stand up, please.